how many glad to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Lord, just raise our hands and love him and magnify him. We love you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your love and your mercy, your kindness, your blessings in our hearts and lives. Amen. We do give you praise and glory and honor, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. It's the privilege and honor of ours to be able to be with you here in West Palm Beach. And we want to say that we appreciate the invitation and opportunity to come and to share what the Lord is doing in Guyana with you. And appreciate your pastor for allowing us to come. How many love and appreciate your pastor and his family? Amen. Praise God. I know that a lot of things have changed in the church world through the years, but I still happen to be one that believes that everybody needs a pastor to be saved. Amen. Praise God. And I decided a long time ago that my whole purpose in life is that I want to see the Lord and I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and praise God. And so to
to live there, praise God. And
beautiful country, as you'll see on the presentation. It's a very unique place. And we're blessed because Ghana has so many great things in the country. And we kind of just fall in love with the people and with the country itself, of course. And I know that there'll be a few of you that debate some of these things with me, but we have, you know, the best curry right in Ghana. Praise God. Amen. And I know a lot of Jamaicans will argue that with me, probably, perhaps. Amen. I was in a service last week, and I talked about the great curry we have, and I had a gentleman come up to me after service, and he said, "Now, there's only one thing I disagree with what you said and what you preached." And he said, "I disagree that Ghana has the best curry," and he happened to be from Trinidad. Praise God. So, amen. I told him, I said, "Well, you know, they do have good curry, but we still have the best." Praise God. Amen. And the Jamaica has a good jerk chicken, but we got the good curry. Praise God. And I did enjoy whoever made the curry last night. I did eat the chicken curry and the rice and the potatoes, and it was very delicious. And when we got home, my son Cameron, he said, "You know, it was a little hot." Amen. So it was seasoned very, very well. But when they make it for some Ghana, they know not to make it so hot. Praise God. It wasn't too hot for me, but it was pretty good. Amen. We're blessed because we have the best pineapples in the world right there in Ghana as well. And so we've got a little spoiled with all those things. I've got a banana tree in my backyard, sugar cane. I've got a papaya tree and a guava tree. So we miss home. We miss all those things. And we're so blessed to be there. Praise God. Amen. The most special thing, of course, are the people the Lord has allowed us the privilege of ministering to and seeing lives change. And there's nothing like, amen, seeing someone that does not know who Jesus is, especially someone from a different religion. We have 34% Hindu, 9% Muslim in Ghana. It's an awesome thing to see those who have never known who Jesus really is come to revelation. Amen. There's just one God, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And so that is a privilege to see that happen in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And of course, there was a lot of cultural differences that we had to deal with when we first went down, a lot of things that we had to get used to. I've never dealt with as many mosquitoes ever in my life than I dealt with in Ghana. Praise God. So land of many waters is just below sea level. And so it's very hot, humid year-round. Of course, it's very close to the equator. And so we have mosquitoes all the time. So when I first got there, I would tell them I was glad I was apostolic Pentecostal because you get to raise your hands and clap your hands and worship the Lord. And that helps keep the mosquitoes away. Praise God. And so the key is to just keep moving. The more you move, the less you get bit. Praise God. So you become a better worshiper down there. But it's just a little different. And, of course, there's a lot of different wildlife there. And so after the service, if you have any questions about Ghana you'd like to talk to me about or ask about, I'd be glad to talk about our country. It's a wonderful place to live for God. It's a very unique place. I do have a 9-foot, 3-inch anaconda skin with me. So if you want to check that skin out, you're welcome to do that. And right before we came back to travel, on deputation, the guy was walking behind our house about a mile. And we have a lot of trenches and canals that regulate the water flow because of the flooding. And so he was walking to work by one of the canals, and when he was going to work, there was a 4-foot caiman alligator on the bank of that canal, and he noticed it was dead. It was flipped over on its back. And so he just took notice and went on his way. But when he's coming back later on, after work, the alligator was gone. So he thought, you know, I wonder what happened to that alligator. And so he thought, you know, something must have eaten that alligator. And sure enough, he looked in the water of that canal, and there was a big anaconda in that canal, and the anaconda had swallowed that alligator. It was about 4 foot. And so then he thought, well, you know, if the snake, and locally they call it komodis, and he thought, you know, if the komodi swallowed the alligator, it's going to be really big and sluggish, and it won't be able to get away, and I'll be able to catch it. And so into the water he went after the anaconda. And sure enough, he grabbed it by the tail and began to pull it out. And as it struggled and fought, it thrashed about and actually regurgitated that alligator to be able to fight better. And so finally, it got caught some grass and brush, and his friends came over and helped him out. And they wrapped a rope around its neck, and they pulled it out, and they caught the snake. And he was very happy because it was a 16-foot, 200-pound anaconda that the guy caught. And so my wife cut that story out. It was on the front page of one of the major newspapers. She cut that out, laminated the story in the pictures. That's on our display table. If you want to look at the picture of the snake and read the story, you're welcome to do that. Amen. How many thank God you're in Florida? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's a little different than what we're used to in the States, but it's an awesome place to serve God, and the rewards are great when you see God move in a tremendous way, and we know that it's just going to get better in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And we've gotten, again, very acclimated to different things, and we miss home. We miss the worship and praise. I think probably one of the greatest things we miss about Guyana is the involvement that we have, because we're very active, and just we pastored two churches this last term, so there's nonstop, amen, something good happening, and along with a few challenges, but we missed that aspect, and we definitely missed the worship, because when we got to Guyana, we found out, you know, Guyanese like to say they like to worship God with their whole body. Praise God. And so they kind of get into the worship, and, you know, they sing a lot about the devil because they deal with voodooism and Hinduism and all kinds of spirits and definitely demons that are there. And so it is a little bit of a challenge. So they sing about the devil a lot, so we had to get used to some of those songs that they sing. You know, we conquer Satan, we conquer demons, we conquer witchcraft, we conquer the devil's kingdom. And they stomp the devil and lift up Jesus, praise God. And then I say, I have seen the downfall of Satan, I have seen the downfall of Satan. And when I look to my left, I see Satan falling. When I look to my right, I hear Satan bawling. And when I look to my back, I see Satan crawling. When I look to my front, I see Satan running. Oh, run, Satan, run. My Jesus is coming. Run, Satan, run. The fireball is falling. Praise God. Amen. Because I've seen it. I've seen the downfall of Satan in my life and so many other lives. Praise God. Amen. Another song that they like to sing there in Guyana, and I know that we had a tremendously strong Jamaican influence in our country with our pioneering missionary, Brother Devin Austin, who was there over the work 12 years and then 5 more in Trinidad, so 17 years overall, and did a tremendous job, and we have what we have because of Brother and Sister Dawson and the work that they did. And so there's a great Jamaican influence there, and we appreciate that. We thank God for that. Amen. So they sing a lot of the songs, of course, the fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. And I like this one. Oh, God don't need no matches for the fire to fall on me. Amen. He don't need any matches. It's that fire of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And I remember one of the songs was a little unique for us, you know, coming from the North American setting, especially in the Midwest, you know, shake, 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 shake the devil off. Oh, shake, 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 shake the devil off. Shake, 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 shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Amen. And they like to shake. Praise God. Amen. I remember one year they were singing that song at the ladies' conference, and we had blackouts. The power shut down, and for about 20 minutes, those ladies just kept on singing and worshiping God. And so when the lights came on, one of our sisters, Sister Patricia Howe, at that time was about probably 70, 75. She was on the back pew, amen, standing on top of it, and she was shaking the devil off. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I'll be honest with you, we miss that. We miss it dearly and just can't wait to get back home in Jesus' name. Praise God. He's an awesome God. Amen. And in the interior, it's a little different as well with the Amerindians, which are indigenous people of our country. And they face a great battle for so many different reasons. But one of the songs they sing, amen, in Guyana, among the Amerindians especially, is, we're going to mash up in Jesus' name. We're going to mash up in Jesus' name. Oh, mash up the devil in Jesus' name. Mash up the devil in Jesus' name. And they'll sing it until they mash him up. Praise God. Amen. And another song they like to sing among the Amerindians especially as well. Oh, it is raining all around me. I can feel it. It is a latter rain. Oh, rain on Jesus. Pour out your rain. Until we are wet, until we are soaked, until we are wet, 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 soak, 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 wet, 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 soak, 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 until we are wet, until we are soaked with a latter rain. We need that rain, don't we? Amen. We need that latter rain. Amen. To be refreshed and revived. Praise God. And so, amen. It's been funny. We have a couple of visitors, and we'll sing that like at conference or something, you know, and we'll do the wet, wet, wet. Soak, 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 until we're wet and soaked, praise God. And they're just kind of looking at us like we got something wrong with us, praise God. And we'll just keep on saying, wet, 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 soak, 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 wet, 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 soak, soak. And so we're soaking wet, having a good time in Jesus, praise God. Amen. And so it's an honor to serve the Lord there, amen, in Jesus' name, praise God. God's an awesome God, amen. Well, I have about 100 snake stories, spider stories, bug stories, about any kind of story you'd like to hear. I'll be glad to share it with you after service. And my wife is not here to keep me focused, so I'll stop telling stories because I'll run out of time. And I'll ask him to go ahead and show our presentation. This is just going to welcome you to a quick visit to our country and also share with you what the Lord did this last term. We thank God for his goodness in Jesus' name.
Greetings from Guyana, South America, the land of many waters. My wife Sherry and our three children, Alexia, Stephen, and Cameron, would like to welcome you to a quick visit to this beautiful tropical country in the northeastern corner of South America. The Atlantic Ocean is Guyana's northern border, with Venezuela to the west, Brazil to the south, and Suriname to the east. Guyana is about the size of the state of Idaho, with a population of 800,000 people. Guyana is a very diverse country that is home to six different nationalities, and yet it is the only English-speaking country in all of South America. We also have a great diversity of religions in Guyana, including 57% Christians, 34% Hindu, and 9% Muslim. Though it is such a religious country, there are still so many who do not know who Jesus is. God has called us to help reach this nation with Bible salvation. He has called us to reach people like Roland Daynot, a lecturer at the University of Guyana. Brother Roland's father is a Christian and his mother is a Hindu, and yet at 27 years of age, neither one had ever taken him to a religious function, not to his Christian church nor to her Hindu temple. Brother Roland came to us on that first Sunday with a hunger for truth and for a real relationship with Jesus Christ. While I was preaching, the presence of the Lord began to minister, and at the end of the message, Brother Roland began to weep, and God touched him in a powerful way. I began teaching him a Bible study, and within 2 months, he was baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost. Within the next month, he had brought both parents to church. That's the apostolic difference. He has called us to reach people like Shani and Denny, a young couple getting ready to start their lives together. Shani's family had been strong Hindus for many generations. After a Bible study with Denny and Shani's family and the Lord working in their lives, I was privileged to baptize them both in the name of Jesus before their wedding. Since then, Shani's father, at age 70, had several demons cast out of him and was baptized in Jesus' name, and the Lord is bringing their entire family into the kingdom. Guyana is filled with both beauty and poverty. God filled this part of the world with His wondrous beauty grand, and yet life is a challenge for so many Guyanese.
Sister Ann Goodridge was facing a great challenge in her life. Being a mother of four beautiful children, she was trying to make it on her own as a single parent after escaping from an abusive husband. Sister Ann was passing by her church on a Wednesday night after a long day of looking for a job. She came in and asked Brother Smith to pray for her to find a job, and he prayed. 2 days later, she called Brother Smith and shared with him that she was at the end of her rope and had some poison that she was going to give her children and herself to end everything. Brother Smith pleaded with her not to do this and began to minister to her and to pray for her over the phone. He convinced her to come back to revival services we were having over that weekend. She came on Friday night, and God filled her with the wonderful Holy Ghost, and the next Sunday, she was baptized in Jesus' name. Her entire family now is in church, and her wayward husband has also been attending services looking for the apostolic difference. God knows every challenge, even though it may seem impossible. He is able to make the difference.
These are just a few of the people that need to hear our message of hope. There's a tremendous need for the apostolic message to be proclaimed throughout the country. While we don't have all the answers to the struggles that they face in their daily lives, we can give them a better hope and a brand new life with Jesus Christ. In the last 4 years, we have seen some amazing growth in many areas of the work in Guyana. We're happy to report to you that we have had over 600 people receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost and 300 baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. Presently, we have 1,500 constituents, 26 ministers, 17 churches, and one preaching point in Guyana. We are thankful for this, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. We have also had 45 graduates from our Bible school program. This is one of the most important aspects of our work as we train men and women to reach their nation. We thank Mother's Memorial for providing funds that make it possible to have a Bible school program. Thank you for giving to Mother's Memorial. In the last 4 years, we have added 7 new ministers to the ministerial body. and we have added 3 new churches and 1 preaching point. 4 new church buildings have been built, and we have totally renovated the headquarters church building. One of the highlights of this last term was our national crusade that was held in the capital city of Georgetown just last year. In this crusade, Guyana experienced their own Pentecost as we witnessed 120 people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost in this 3-night crusade. Also in our last national conference, 25 more were filled with God's wonderful Spirit. We give God all thanks and praise for these blessings. The door is wide open for apostolic revival to sweep through the land.
One of the greatest joys of our term has been ministering to the children and youth of Guyana. It has been said that 70% of the population of Guyana is 15 and under. We have a great job to do to reach the children. These children have a very special place in our heart. There are thousands of needy children whose only hope of a better life can be found in Jesus. Many of these children come to us with hurts that only God can heal. We are glad to report to you that in October 2008, we had a children's crusade, and we had over 350 children present. During the crusade, Sister Lynn Jewett ministered about having a clean heart. In the altar service, we had 8 children receive the Holy Ghost, and 2 were baptized. We rejoice in this, but we realize that there is so much more to be done. The children are the church of tomorrow. If we reach a child with God's love, then we are building the church for the future. Those children will make a difference in the future of the church in Guyana, an apostolic difference. Please pray with us that God will help us accomplish this great task. I would like to say a personal thank you to all the ladies who work so hard for Mother's Memorial. Every day, as a missionary's wife, I am so thankful for our washer, dryer, stove, and refrigerator. With a family of 5, all of these appliances are used continuously throughout the day. My children are very thankful because they have learned how to cook on the Mother's Memorial stove and how to do laundry in the washer and dryer. And yes, they are wearing off the hinges on the refrigerator every day, getting ice for their drinks in the nice tropical humid weather. We all say a great big thank you to Mother's Memorial. Thank you, ladies, for your blessings to our family.
We would like to thank the North American churches for your sacrificial giving that makes it possible for us to be doing what God has called us to do. Thank you also, Sheesh for Christ, for the money that you raise and give to make it possible to put wheels on the gospel in 4 mission fields all over the world. Thank you, youth and youth leaders, for working hard to raise these funds for Sheesh for Christ. You are part of the work in Guyana. We have seen some wonderful things happen in the work in Guyana in this last term, and we rejoice in all the victories that the Lord has helped us to be a part of. Yet there is still so much more that needs to be done. There are still thousands of unreached people on our coastline that need Jesus, and thousands that are in the interior waiting for someone to take the message to them. We know that God has called us to this country to help see that happen. Please pray for the work of God in Guyana, and please let the Lord speak to your heart to help us with the King's business there. The main projects that we are raising money for to help us in the work in Guyana are for generators, 2 boat motors, a church bus, music equipment, office equipment, for church buildings and property, and we also plan to have 4 major crusades when we return to the field. If you can help us with any of these projects, we would greatly appreciate it. One of the greatest ways that you can help us with the work in Guyana and help us return to our field of calling is to become a monthly partner in missions with us. For as little as $50 a month, you can be instrumental in helping save, change, and mold a nation. We are seeing great things happen as we minister to the children and youth of Guyana, and you can be a part of that. Will you listen to God's call for help today? Please partner with us in prayer and finances in bringing this beautiful land of many waters and the beautiful people who live there the apostolic message that never changes, the living waters of the Holy Ghost that can never run dry, and a chance at hope for a better life. Thank you in advance for doing all that you can do to help reach our world. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Well, as you can see, it is a beautiful country and filled with precious people. And again, we're blessed to be there, and we thank God for that privilege in Jesus' name. I also want to say that we appreciate this church for your giving and supporting us for a number of years now. We thank you for that very much. And as a missionary, I want to let you know that we don't take for granted the sacrifice that's made here in the States to be able to even reach countries around the world. And we appreciate your giving, and we thank you for that sacrifice in Jesus' name. And thank you for your faithful support. And all that you saw in the presentation, this church here has been a part of because of your giving. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Also, just want to, before I forget, because my wife usually helps me with this end, I thank you for your hospitality and the kind accommodations that you have blessed us with in our stay here in West Palm Beach. We thank you for the nice house and the quarters that we've been able to stay in. Also, thank everyone for the food that you brought in or donated or gave or cooked. Amen. And the breakfast casserole was very good. And the baked ziti was also very good. Praise God. Amen. I think my dad's a little Italian on that side. Amen. We're not really sure because, amen, his family's a little muddled. Praise God. Amen. But I was supposed to be a Frierson instead of a Smith. But anyway, here I am. And but the ziti was very good. Praise God. I enjoyed it very much. And I thank you for your hospitality. Also enjoyed the food last night at the Seasons Saints dinner as well. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your kindness. Praise God. And I thank brother and sister, amen, Kyle, for making me feel so welcome and allowing us to be here today in Jesus' name. One of the things that the presentation mentioned was projects we're raising money for. And, of course, if you'd like to help us with those projects, please let your pastor know. We're trying to get finished up with our church bus and also a boat motor for our work because we do a lot of work on the rivers among the Amerindians. So that's our main mode of transportation. If you'd like to help us, amen, please let your pastor know. We're about $1,000 short on one boat motor and about $4,000 short on a church bus. So we're looking for just 8 more churches to help us with a church bus at $500 apiece. If you'd like to help us with that, please let Kyle know. Also, we brought back some currency. Amen. From Guyana. So if you'd like to help us with any of our projects, all the money will go right to the work, and we'll be willing to trade you today. Amen. Only, praise God, money for money. We have a $20 Guyanese bill, so if you want to get some of our precious money, we'll trade you 20 Guyanese for 20 U.S., praise God. Amen. We'll also trade you 100 Guyanese for 100 U.S., amen, and it gets prettier as they get bigger, praise God. We have a $500 bill. We'll be willing to trade you 500 Guyanese for 500 U.S. for any project. And then the biggest bill that we have in our country is the $1,000 bill, so we'll even be willing to trade you 1,000 Guyanese for 1,000 U.S. for any project, praise God. You just may not want to know the rate of exchange before you do that. But they make great Bible markers, and you can pray for us when you see them in your Bibles in Jesus' name. Praise God. Also, there's a few items for sale on the display table. A couple of them are a couple of books I've written. One I got printed last year. It's called Time with Jesus. It's a book on prayer. And then also, just a few months ago, earlier this year, I got one printed called Lead. It's on leadership development. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. But I encourage you to look at the pictures, and if you have any questions about Guyana, you'll find out that I will talk nonstop. Amen, about Guyana. Praise God. I'll even tell you what our flag, all those colors stand for, because every one of the colors in the flaming arrow, amen, stand for something. And if you give me a few seconds, the red stands for the very fiery spirit of the people. Amen. This is the flag that was designed by Guyanese when they got their independence from Britain in 1966. The black line stands for the strength of the people. The yellow stands for the gold and the diamonds, all the natural resources and minerals we have in our country, the bauxite. The white stands for the rushing rivers that flow through our country. We have 4 major rivers that flow through Guyana. And then the green, of course, stands for the beautiful vegetation and the bush that's in our country. And so that is the flaming arrow flag of Guyana. Praise God. And it's a pretty flag. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand in Jesus' name. And if you'll just give me a few minutes this afternoon, I promise you that I will not keep you long. But I thank you again for allowing me to come and share what the Lord is doing in Guyana. And I pray that, that something is said or shared from the Word of God will be a blessing to you this afternoon. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I wish I could just, all I can do is just share with you what's in my heart. And I pray that it would be an encouragement to you. And I just ask that God would anoint his word as it is shared today so that it will help us in Jesus' name. I wish I could preach a rah-rah message because it would be easy to preach, I'm sure, here today. But I want to just ask God that he'll just speak to our hearts. Amen? In Jesus' name. And this is Psalm 126 in verse 1. Amen. This is what the psalmist writes. Amen. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise God. Amen. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 9, Paul wrote this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. I'll just preach from this thought today, and that is, amen, that the harvest is a sure thing. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, God, that you don't mean as I preach from your word this afternoon, I pray that you don't want our ears to hear and our hearts receiving you, Lord, exactly what you have for us in this service. And we thank you, Lord, for your touch, and we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise God. There are a lot of laws that the Lord set in motion at creation, and we're familiar with most of them. There are laws that cannot be altered or changed, like the law of gravity. Amen. The law of gravity is a constant, and there are a lot of laws like that. And there's, amen, also the law of the harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. Praise God. And the scriptures tell us that, amen, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And a lot of times when we talk about the law of the harvest, many times when we talk about sowing and reaping, we more often talk about good and bad. If we sow bad, we're going to reap bad. And so I know that when I came back to the Lord as a teenager, amen, I was backslidden, came back into the kingdom, and the Lord reconciled me and changed my life again. Amen. One of the things I started to do immediately was I knew that I had sowed a lot of bad seed, and so I knew I was going to reap. Praise God, because I was raised in church, and I knew that that was the truth of the matter. So I tried to do immediately begin to sow good seed, because I knew that if I started as quick as I could, amen, that God was going to help me. Amen. And get that crop in and start harvesting better things, because I knew that my life was going to be a little bit rough because of the ignorant things that I'd done. Amen. Because the law of the harvest definitely is true. We're going to reap what we sow. And often, of course, when we talk about sowing and reaping, we often mention about giving. Praise God. We talk about the fact that if we, amen, sow, amen, into the kingdom of God, we will reap. And a lot of times we're connected with the financial end of that, but it's so much more than that. Praise God. That God will bless us, and we know that, amen, that is true. If we give to the work of God, God is going to bless us, our families, etc. In fact, Paul said, amen, that he that sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So we know that that's true in the law of the harvest, or the law of sowing and reaping. Amen. But, amen, the law of sowing and reaping also doesn't just apply to our giving or our finances or good things or bad things, but also applies to the harvest. Praise God. That's why the psalmist said that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise God, because the harvest is a sure thing. The Lord knows that if we will invest in the harvest, if we'll sow in the harvest, we're going to doubtless reap in Jesus' name. Praise God. And it's a little interesting because usually when we talk about sowing and reaping, amen, good and bad, they're connected in the same regard, the fact that if we sow good, we're going to reap good. If we sow bad, we're going to, amen, reap bad. But notice that the psalmist said that, amen, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And so like it is often in the kingdom, amen, the things that the Lord shared with us when he birthed to church, it's very opposite than the human mentality, praise God. So many things in the kingdom are backward to the way that we think as human beings, praise God. Amen. Because, you know, humanly it doesn't make much sense for me to give into the kingdom, but spiritually I know that if I give, I will receive. That doesn't really make much sense from a human concept, praise God. Why give into the offering when I might need that for a bill? But the scriptures let us know if I give, it will return to me, pressed down, shaken together, good measure, praise God. And so it's interesting, talking about the harvest, the psalmist said they that sow, they're going to sow in tears. So that seems like a negative thing, but we reap in joy. Because that's just the way things are in the kingdom of God. It's always the opposite of the way that we usually think humanly. And so he gives us the understanding that the harvest is a sure thing. Praise God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. And we know that we bear precious seed. Praise God. That precious word of God. Amen. The psalmist says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like how the psalmist puts that word. He said, amen, we will doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. And I want to just encourage you this afternoon to know, amen, that and be reminded that the harvest is a sure thing. Praise God. There are so many things that people are investing their time and energy and money into in this world and in this lifetime, amen, that you don't have a sure reward or sure return on those things. Praise God. And I know that we've seen it here in North America how that, amen, things have been kind of turned upside down, and people that invested in so many different areas of life, they're not seeing a very good return now on their investment. But I want to encourage you today, amen, you will never invest in the kingdom of God without receiving a sure return on whatever investment that you make in the kingdom. Amen. We will, amen, reap if we faint not. Praise God. And I come to encourage you this afternoon. Amen. It's not time for us to faint. Praise God. It's time for us to make sure we keep on investing our time, our energy, our money, our tears, our prayers, our intercessions. Praise God. Our energies, everything that we have. I encourage you to continue to invest in the harvest, because your return is sure, because the harvest is a sure thing. Amen. We can't say that about the stock market. Praise God. We can't say that about all the companies that we could invest in this world. Amen. We can't even say that about an education or a house or car. We might spend our energy or time, amen, and money on things. Praise God. Amen. But I guarantee you that if you invest in the harvest, amen, God will give you a sure return in Jesus' name. The psalmist said, we will doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. Amen. He leaves us no doubt that if I pray and I fast and I witness to people and I knock on doors and I teach Bible studies and I love souls, praise God, and I get involved in the harvest, that whatever energy that I put in, whatever I give to the work of God, amen, whatever I'm willing to sacrifice and give up and do for God, amen, he will always reward the people of God. Because the harvest is a sure thing. Amen. And the Lord knows how vital that the harvest is. In fact, the harvest is the most vital thing in our existence as people of God. Praise God. Amen. There's so many times in our lives, even as children of God, that we allow the enemy of our soul to get us out of focus. Amen. We get concentrated on things that really don't matter a whole lot in this life. But the Lord wants to keep us focused so that we'll keep the main thing, because he knows how vital that the harvest is. Amen. For our own personal salvation and also for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. The harvest is the main thing on God's mind all the time. Amen. Can I tell you this afternoon, amen, that God is not worried about the economy. He's not worried about your job. He's not worried about your schooling. He's not worried about your house. He's not worried about your car. He said if we sought his first, his kingdom and his righteousness, that everything that we needed in life would be added to us. He's not worried about any of those things, but he is concerned about the harvesting of souls that is of the greatest eternal value. In fact, he has the harvest on his mind all the time, every day. He's not worried about all the other things because he's in control. He's God. He knows he's God. He wants us to know that he's God, and he'll take care of everything else. And we'll just make his business our business. Amen. Whatever we're concerned about, he'll take care of in Jesus' name. Because he knows the harvest is a sure thing, and he knows that, amen, it's the main thing. It's the most important thing. Praise God. And I will tell you this afternoon, too, that the enemy also knows how valuable the harvest is. Praise God. Amen. The enemy of our soul also knows how important that the harvest is, first personally and also, amen, as a church. And so the enemy would love nothing more than to come in and to steal our harvest. Praise God. Because I'll tell you, in interacting with the enemy of our soul, that there comes a time in our lives as we walk with God that the devil may not be able to get us back into his grasp. Amen. He may not get Steve Smith back in the world. We sang about that. Amen. I'm glad for the change, and I have no plans to go back. Amen. I have no plans to go back to the mess I was in that God saved me from in Jesus' name. So the devil may not get me back into his grasp, but if he can cause me to lose my focus and get out of the harvest, he has the battle half won. And so he's a happy camper. If he can just cause me to get out of focus and lose my, amen, my focus and what the main thing is, amen, he's a very happy camper, because he may not get me back in sin, but if he can cause me not to win another soul for him, that would make him very happy. Praise God. And so the enemy comes in and he likes to destroy the harvest in Jesus' name. This is Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. Because the enemy knows that the law of the harvest will never change. Praise God. And he knows that the harvest is a sure thing. So if he can come in and take the harvest, he has the battle half won. The Bible says this in the life and time of Gideon, the great judge, in verse 1 of Judges chapter 6, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come into Gaza, left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Praise God. The Midianites, I believe, did come against the children of Israel hand-to-hand combat, physically against them. Amen. But I think also they figured out that, you know what? They also had a plan that they knew that they may not even personally have to attack God's people. All they really had to do to keep Israel under subjection was to just watch and wait. And they noticed that when Israel had sown and they were expecting a harvest, because the harvest was their survival, all they would have to do is wait until they had sown. And the Bible says when Israel had sown, that's when the Midianites come in and they devoured the increase of the land. They figured out all they had to do was just take care of the harvest that God's people were waiting on and expecting and knew was their survival. Praise God. I'll tell you that the enemy is the same way today. Praise God. He may not attack us personally, although often he does, but he has figured out that, you know what? Amen. His main job after we're saved is, if he can't get us back, if he can't maybe attack us personally, amen, all he has to do is just watch and wait. And when we have sown the seed and we're waiting and we're expecting a harvest, all he has to do is sneak in and destroy the harvest, because he knows that when he destroys the harvest, amen, he has destroyed the joy of the Lord. When he destroys our joy, then he has our strength, and all the sudden we wind up being a weak, anemic child of God, or a weak and anemic church, amen, and he has the battle won, praise God, amen. But I encourage you this afternoon to not lose your focus on the harvest, because the harvest is your survival, praise God. It's your survival personally as a child of God, one-on-one. Amen. Your joy is depending on your personal harvest. But when you get your eyes off the harvest and you stop and you back up and you lose sight, and the enemy comes in and he watches and waits and he steals that harvest. Amen. Once he stole your harvest, he's got your joy. And when he knows he's got your joy, he knows he's got your strength. And then you're not able to really do anything. Amen. But God's not put us on this earth for that purpose. He's put us here to be strong and on fire and in love with Jesus and winning the lost and impacting our generation and doing what it's called us to do, and not letting things get us out of focus. But he loves to come in and steal the harvest, praise God. And I encourage you today, I challenge you today, don't let the enemy of your soul come in and steal your harvest. As a church today, I encourage you to rally around the word of God and God's man and the plan of God and just do what God's called you and don't let all the other chips fall where they may, because God's in control. Amen. And if you make his business your business, he'll take care of the rest. The harvest is a sure thing. And it's an important thing, praise God. The harvest is a sure thing, and the enemy knows that, praise God. The Lord just wants to, the enemy just wants to destroy the harvest and steal our joy. Because if he can steal and destroy our harvest and steal our joy, he doesn't really have to lay a hand on us because he has the battle half won. This is what Joel said, though, in Joel chapter 1 and verse 10. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, and the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field that are fruit-bearing, are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Praise God. And I tell you, one of the challenges I have on deputation is sometimes visiting places and seeing the saints of God, who should be filled with the most joy in this life. They've lost some of their joy. Praise God. Because I don't know about you, but the apostolic Pentecostals ought to have the most joy of anybody in the world. I know where the Lord brought me from, praise God. I know how he delivered me as a rebellious teenager, from the alcohol and from the marijuana and from the nicotine. I know how the Lord delivered me, so if I'm missing my joy, there may be something wrong there, praise God. Because if anybody ought to be full of joy, I ought to be full of joy, praise God. How many remember where the Lord brought you from? How many remember how the Lord delivered you and set you free? Change your life, pick you up, turn you around, wash you off, change everything about your life. And that brought great joy. I remember the day the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, praise God. And so if anybody, we ought to be filled with the most joy. And so if there's something wrong with our joy, it may be because we have stopped being involved in the harvest. Am I okay, praise God? If I'm sitting here in the house of God today or wherever I might be, and I know that the joy is just not what it should be, not what it used to be, praise God. There's something wrong. Because I know what the Lord did for me. I know the change that came on me, praise God. I'm walking better. I'm talking better. I'm living better. I'm smelling better. Everything about my life got better when I got Jesus. And so because of the change and the goodness of God, I ought to have the joy of the Lord. So if my joy is missing, it may be because I've stopped being involved in the harvest. Because the harvest is where my joy comes from. After my own personal salvation, after I'm saved and sanctified and blood bought on my way to heaven, and all is well with my soul and my family, the next thing is I have to remember my world is depending on me to share this joy with them. And so I have to get involved in the harvest because my joy is going to come from that harvest. Because the Lord knows the harvest is a sure thing. Don't sit down on your joy. Don't sit down on your Holy Ghost. Invite somebody to church. Pass out a flyer or two. Witness to somebody on the job. Witness to a neighbor. Bring somebody to teach a Bible study. Praise God. Get involved in doing something because the harvest is a sure thing. You can be guaranteed when you work in the harvest, God's going to give you the reward. How many believe that? Praise God. Because there's an inseparable connection between the joy and the harvest. No harvest, no joy. No joy, no harvest. And the devil knows that, praise God. He wants to steal our joy in Jesus' name. But thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. But there are harvest killers that would come in, like the Midianites. They waited for Israel to sow. And when they had sown, they come in and they destroyed the increase of the earth. They came into the land to destroy the increase, the harvest, praise God. There are harvest killers, personally, as a church, that will steal our harvest. And there's a number of them, amen? Praise God. Because I have found that, amen, one of the greatest healers of personal problems in my walk with God is to be involved with the harvest. I have found, amen, that the greatest healer of church struggles is the harvest. Praise God. The last church we pastored in the States in Illinois, Amen. We went in there first year and they even had major problems. The last year we were there and they were struggling. And so we just got in there and loved God and loved people and started winning souls. And amen. About 2 years into the thing, you know, I just didn't focus on the negative things that had happened before I got there because I had no control of them. We just started having a revival. The second year we broke the attendance record of the church. The church was 30 years old. Amen. Because I found that one of the greatest healers of the ills of God's people is just focusing on the harvest. I hope that's not so narrowly minded, but that's just me personally, praise God. It was amazing that church. I remember we were having people come in, and we were teaching Bible studies and discipling people, and one of the guys who's been in the church for years and years and years, he got mad because on one service, amen, I told people that if they couldn't take care of the new converts and love the babies, amen, just to leave them alone. That was just a pastor, you know? So, amen, I'm not trying to nail those sound guys, but he was a sound guy. He was at the back, and that made him so mad. Probably why we had trouble ever since, ever after, with the sound, praise God. But he got mad because I was trying to keep the focus right. And the focus wasn't on his feelings. Are we okay with that? It wasn't about him. It wasn't about me. It was all about him, and it was all about them. Even this last term in Guyana, even we took over the headquarters church, and we were already pastoring a church, and it was a good church, and we were happy. We didn't have a building. We were happy. But my regional director came by, and he said, our first year back on the field, he said, Brother Smith, you're going to have to take over the headquarters church because they were in trouble. First church ever started, actually the first church Brother Dawson started, All Nations Tabernacle there in Georgetown, Newtown Kitty, Georgetown. And unfortunately, the church that used to run in the hundreds was now down to about 40 people. Used to run about 500 or 600, I believe, in their prime, but I'm not exact of the numbers, but it was a pretty large church. And when we got there, amen, I knew the building was falling apart, and they were having problems, and for different reasons. And then our first 2 months there, we ran about 40 in Sunday school. I remember on a rainy Sunday morning in June, we had 22 people in the house of God. And we pastored both churches most of this last term. And so, amen, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, this is going to have to you. Because I can't turn this thing around. This is beyond me. But I knew that the harvest is a sure thing. And I knew that the best way to heal a church is to start seeing souls come in. Amen. It's a sure cure. Amen. And so we started, amen, loving people, having revival. Amen. And Sunday school run about 10 kids, and we're in the heart of the city where people everywhere, children everywhere. And so we started bringing in children and having Sunday school because I believe children can live for God. Praise God. Go get the Holy Ghost, live for the Lord in Jesus' name. So we started working. And, amen, after our first year, we were aiming for 100. We didn't get there, but we almost got to that 100 mark. And so by the time of the second year, we were aiming for 200. And, amen, one Sunday on that year, we had 250 people in the house of God. And I'll tell you, 180 of them were kids. Because we're rocking with the Sunday school, praise God, because I believe in kids, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. By the time we were there, our third year, right before we came back to deputize, we were aiming for 300, and we didn't get there, but that Easter Sunday, we had 265 people in the house of God, amen. We're averaging about 170 in church, and I'm sharing that with you because, amen, the enemy, amen, likes to kill the harvest. But the harvest is a sure thing, and it's a sure cure. Amen, for us personally and also corporately. Praise God. God wants us to keep the main thing, because he knows also that the harvest is a sure thing. Praise God. And if we'll take care of his business, all will be well in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. But I will tell you, amen, that it was amazing. Right about a month after we came back from Guyana, a saint in the church, they sent a letter back to the Four Missions Division. They emailed this letter telling how what a terrible missionary I was, what a terrible pastor I was, what a terrible job I was doing. How that I turned the church into a visitor church. I thought it was a pat on the back. Praise God. I thought that's what the church was for. I thought it was over all those people that don't have what I have. Amen. Haven't felt what I feel most of my life. Haven't yet received the Holy Ghost. Haven't yet had their sins washed. I thought the church was for that very reason. So we could come up and say, let you know there's problems out there, but there's hope in here. This is the refuge. This is a place where you can get right with God. Your family can be healed here. Your children can be won here. Amen. You can be delivered right here. I thought that's why we were here. I thought we were here for the visitors, praise God, because I'm already saved. This is not for me. I mean, some of it's for me, praise God, but this is not for me. It's for all of them in Jesus' name, praise God. But the interesting thing was she didn't mention in her email that the visitors were also getting the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name, and they were getting taught home Bible studies, and we were discipling them and bringing them to the kingdom of God. And every problem, every obstacle that we face, and there were a few, because I usually don't focus on the problems on deputation. And there are a few challenges, but I promise you, every challenge that we faced, amen, in dealing with just the country and also that local church, amen, God took care of everyone. There were situations I knew that God had to do it. Amen, but when I turned it over to Him and we just focused on that sure harvest of souls, amen, I guarantee you, God took care of every problem without me having to do anything but pray. Because the harvest is most important to Him as well. Praise God in Jesus' name. And I know my time is almost up right now, so let me be quick. Praise God. One of the greatest challenges I think that we face here in North America as far as dealing with the harvest, one of the harvest killers that would come in and destroy your harvest personally or as a church, amen, is the spirit of apathy. Because coming back and traveling on this deputation, and I'm not trying to be offensive at all, but one of the challenges I face is dealing with a sense of, amen, pure apathy, even among God's people. Amen, apathy means you just don't care. I found people, amen, in life, but also sometimes even in the church, battle with the spirit of just not caring. As long as I'm okay, as long as my family's okay, as long as I have a job, as long as my bills are paid, as long as my soul is well, I just really don't care about anybody else. But I want to encourage you this morning, amen, to ask God to help us as a body of Christ, amen, to ward off that spirit of apathy and get involved in the harvest and stay focused on souls. I appreciate Brother Waller, amen, your ministry of the homeless. Amen, those are people that really people don't care about and don't want to have anything to do with. Praise God. Amen, but God cares about them. Amen. I'm telling you, the greatest investment is that eternal soul. Nothing else matters to God. And so, amen, one of the greatest ways to ward off apathy is to ask God to restore into us our joy of salvation. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Why? Because I'll get my joy back. Once I got my joy back, I'll get involved in the harvest. I'll regain my strength. I'll regain my focus. I'll regain my purpose. Amen. I'll re-understand the plan you have for me in my life and the church. Amen. I'll get back involved in the harvest. Amen. I'll be filled again with passion. Amen. I encourage you today. Amen. I ask God to help you, help me, help us all to have a restoration, a passion for the main thing God is involved in. He has a passion for souls. Praise God. I'll close with this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The Bible says Jesus is having a revival. Amen. He was teaching and preaching in synagogues throughout cities and villages. Amen. He's having signs and miracles and wonders, healings. Amen. He's healing every sickness, every disease among the people, the Bible says. But the Bible says in the middle of revival, he looked up and saw the multitudes that were out there that he described as sheep having no shepherd scattered abroad. And the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. Something got a hold of Jesus, even in revival, that would not let him go. And when he was gripped with that compassion, and I'm trying to hurry today. When he was gripped with that compassion, he turned his disciples, these men that the church was going to be depending on for the future and revival. Amen. These 12 men, he said to them, I don't think Jesus lackadaisically or kind of just nonchalantly said, well, truly the harvest is plenteous. I think Jesus looked at those men, gripped with compassion, and said, truly the harvest is plenteous. There's so many out there that we need to get involved and do something now. Truly the harvest is plenteous. And if Jesus could say that, then surely we can say it now. Truly the 7 billion people on the face of this earth, truly the harvest is plenteous. Surely it's plenteous here in West Palm Beach, praise God. And then he said that, pray ye, not for the harvest, but that the laborers, amen, will be sent for. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will be sent for the laborers into his harvest, praise God. Because I find that the only problem that the harvest has, because the harvest is a sure thing, I found that the only problem that the harvest has is with me. The only problem the harvest, because it's a sure thing, and the only problem the harvest has is with Steve Smith. It's with the laborers. Praise God. There's not a problem with the harvest. They're out there. They're waiting. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're needing. Praise God. And the only problem they have is with God. The Lord of the harvest talking to me as a laborer and saying, Steve, amen, I want you to do something about the harvest. The only problem the harvest has is with the laborers. And then he personalized it. And I'll close with this. He said, amen, pray that the Lord of the harvest, he sent forth laborers into his harvest. It wasn't a generic thing. He didn't say the harvest. He said his harvest. Why? Because it was a personal issue with him. He was fixing to shed his blood, his own blood, for that harvest. He was fixing to have a personal investment in that. Amen. I wonder if we have that today. Do we have a personal investment? Let's stand right now. Amen. Do we have a personal investment? Have you personalized your harvest? Could I just encourage you today to know that the harvest is your thing, and challenge you also to know that if you will allow God to get a hold of your heart, grip you with compassion, fill you with passion, shake off apathy and whatever other harvest killer that might creep in and destroy your harvest, if you will ask God to keep your focus right, amen, God will use you in a mighty way to win your world. And the best way to do that is to personalize that harvest. It's not just the pastor's responsibility to win the loss. It's not just the leadership of the church. It's my world. It's my harvest. It's my neighbor. It's my coworker. It's my family. It's my brother. It's my sister. Amen? It's my harvest, praise God. And when we personalize that harvest, praise God, the Lord will give us the sure harvest. And everything else we might be worried about. I found that, you know, if I'll just love others, God will win my family. Amen. I've had a brother 22 years outside of God's plan come back and get refilled with the Holy Ghost because mom and dad, amen, went to Mexico as missionaries and served. I believe that Lord honored my mom and dad's sacrifice or whatever they went through in Mexico. It was an honor for them to serve. Amen. I believe he honored them by saving my brother at the age of 38, 6 months before he died. Because when we personalize it and we get involved, God will take care of all the other things. Amen. I wish I had a word for you today about, amen, your land or your building. I don't. The only thing the Lord laid on my heart was just to preach about the harvest. Because if you will win your harvest, God has